Okay, if this is your first Sunday here, we're actually in a series, which is fine. I'm going to give you a little heads up, and they individually stand apart from each other. But our series is called Just One Touch. And let me kind of give you the heart behind this. We exist in a world that has a God that didn't just set things in motion, didn't just arrange the world in the way it should be, set the world spinning, and then backed away. But we have a God that actually put on flesh and walked among us and interacted with us and loved us and had compassion for us. And we get the whole New Testament to see what He did and what He began. And today we're here because of what He did. And so what we've done over the last 2 weeks and what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks is talk about personal encounters that Jesus had with people and let that translate what it means for us. If we have a God that's willing to get dirty, to willing to come down here and to sweat and to walk around and to experience life, to experience hunger, to experience sunburn, to experience all of these things that we did and felt compassion for us, and He touched people that He shouldn't have. And this is the great news of what we get. And so today, my title for today is called Clean. And I think you may hear what I'm getting ready to say, and you may believe it intellectually. You may think it through your understanding of what Christianity is and what Jesus has done on the cross, and through what we just experienced through communion of what Jesus did on the cross and what that means to us here. But the problem is that we live in what I'm going to call today an old system. For thousands of years leading up to Jesus's entry into the world, they were functioning in an old system. And in that old system, there were sin. There was sin. There was uncleanliness. And there were things that you were supposed to do. There were ceremonial things. And to fix that, they had an old system in place that you would come and sacrifice something on your behalf to cleanse yourself. But the problem with the old system, which I think has tainted our way of life now, is that that system never worked completely. In the old system, you were never completely clean. You were literally clean for that moment so you could enter into the presence so that you could experience God. But as soon as something happened, as soon as you stubbed your toe on the way out of the temple, on the way out of there, and, you know, a thought came into your mind that had a colorful word that you weren't supposed to say, not that anybody ever does that. Come on, people. You know, the first moment that something happens, it's gone. And you had to wait and work the system over and over and over again. And the thing with today is, you never understand in that system what it means to be clean. We exist in a place that we constantly feel that we are not measuring up, that we're not good enough. And even sitting here in a middle school that is our church here on Sunday mornings, we would communicate to people that God has cleaned us through the cross. But we walk out of this building and live in the old system of constantly trying to do a good work, constantly trying to fix and improve ourselves so that we can feel clean. See, it's not hard for me to convince you that we've all been tainted. I think the harder part is convincing you that God can make you clean. Because if you'll look at these scriptures with me, just in case you feel like, hey, you know, we're not too bad and, you know, sin is not an issue for me. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And see, I'm not a language scholar or anything, but, you know, all means all. See, I think sometimes we see all, and then you think, if you're sitting here in the chair, all means you, not me. Because there's pastor up front, and although, you know, he's not dressed up like maybe you grew up and doesn't have a shirt or tie, but pastor, that he's good, and we're not. See, the thing that we all understand inside of ourselves, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We live every day understanding that there is something that's missing. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And here's one of my favorites for those that feel like, well, I've done good. This is what Isaiah talks about, your righteousness. Isaiah 64:6, it says, "We have all become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." Not to be gross, but I'm going to. That literally means, polluted garment, it means a used menstrual rag. Okay, so we already get that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We get that even our righteousness, even our best day, let's say maybe God forgot some of those other occasions and maybe He only remembers your best day at doing everything correct, everything right, obeying every rule is a polluted garment on the table of God saying, "Look at what I have done." That is your righteousness. And I'm not saying all of these things to build in you more sorrow and more despair. I'm putting this in to you so that you can understand that in the old system, which is what we want to live in, or what we a lot of times live in, we're never going to fix what's really wrong with us. And see, God came here not so that we could work the old system anymore. God came here so that He could complete the old system and give us something that we never have had before. And so if you have your Bibles with you, our story is going to come out of Mark 1, starting in verse 40. And this is dealing with a leper. And here's kind of an idea that I found written somewhere, and I liked it. It says, like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. It spreads, it defiles, it isolates, and it renders things fit only for the fire. Anyone who has never trusted in the Savior is spiritually in worse shape than the man is physically. So leprosy was a disease that completely takes over your body. And I don't recommend this, but I did this earlier this week. Google search, image, leper. And you don't realize, because I think we, even in the videos that you may see about these encounters, you don't realize that this is a disease that attacks the nervous system. And they don't understand, they don't feel pain. So they don't necessarily heal and their skin begins to fall off and they're deformed and completely isolated. And then this culture of clean and unclean, they were not allowed to live in the city. They weren't allowed to live anywhere near. And if they were approaching people, they were to call out to everyone else, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would know who they were. See, and I love the story of the leper because they live in a world or a reality that we hide in. Because if we're going to be honest, a lot of us feel like the leper. We feel that we have been so tainted by things that we have done, things that have been done to us, things that have been done around us, environments that we're in, that we are so tainted that a holy God could never change me, could never fix what's wrong in me. And this leper lives in a place that he doesn't get to deny that. He is required to live outside of the grace and the mercy of everyone, outside of getting a touch. these common things that we take for granted, they had none of that. And we don't know exactly what led this leper to pursue Jesus, but somewhere he heard about Jesus. And this is the encounter that he has. In verse 40, it says, "And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" See, imagine this for a moment. He is breaking protocol. Like we studied 2 weeks ago with a lady with the issue of blood, he was doing what wasn't supposed to be done. And he comes before a righteous, holy man, which in this society was the clean of the clean. They went through all the ritualistic stuff to make sure that they were not unclean and they were untainted. And here is the holy man that he has heard that has the ability to do something that has never been done. Only twice, I won't say never, but not done by any medicine. There was nothing for the leper than other than to endure what was going on. And only twice in the Old Testament was there someone who was cleaned from being a leper to not. And so here we are in the New Testament. Here Jesus comes on the scene and this leper comes and gets on his face before Jesus. And I love this phrase, because I think this is how we experience the cross. Is we verbalize to him, and he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He doesn't come to Jesus and go, "I'm not sure if you can do this. I'm not sure if I can ask this. I'm not sure if you have the ability to, or you have the capacity to heal me." He comes and gets on his face before Jesus and says, "If you will." Like, not if you can, if you will. Like, if you're willing to heal me, you can do that. And he is on the ground before Jesus, acknowledging that he has no capacity to change himself. And the three verses that we looked at just a second ago gives us the same image. There is nothing that we can do. There's no amount of working the old system that is going to make us right before God. And here's the leper bearing everything, coming close to Jesus. And verse 41 says, "Moved with pity." This word's also very similar to the word that we used last week with the widow. Pity is the word also used, compassion. It literally means from the deep. Like, this wasn't a superficial, like, you know how sometimes that we're just trying to be nice to people and we put on this little smile like, "Oh, isn't that bad? Like, I can't believe this is happening." This was deep within inside Jesus. He felt compassion. He felt pity for this man, and he did what he didn't have to do. And this is why we are having the series. Jesus never had to touch anyone. Never. I mean, he showed that, I think it was the centurion, that he literally spoke from a mile or so away, "Let the servant be healed," and he was healed instantly. He did not have to touch him. And this was a man that the priest would not touch. And Jesus, having compassion, having pity, he stretched out his hand and he touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Immediately. I think sometimes we feel in this world of Christianity, in this world that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins so that we can be righteous, so that we can be clean, is that God says, "I'll bring you into the family, but it's going to take a while before you're clean. It's going to take a while." And really how we feel about ourselves and what Jesus has done will respond in how we live every aspect of our life. Because if we believe that it's within our power to then make us good, to make us clean, to make us pure, then when the next person that we encounter that is in the same place that we are, we'll look to them and say, "You need to," instead of, "Jesus needs to." I I've in the last 20 years reading Scripture and reading these things, I've never really understood, and I do a little bit now, but it's funny that I think Jesus, in most of his encounters, especially when he heals people, he tells them at the end, don't tell anybody. Like, whatever you do. And, you know, in our culture where we want good advertisement, like if someone got healed of leprosy here at Reach Community Church, we would do a little video of it and it'd be on our website and we'd be like, come on, like this is, we're here, this is where we meet. We would have people wearing shirts that say, this is my church, you should know this. Jesus is saying sternly this. And Jesus said sternly, charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to speak, talk freely about it, and he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places where people were coming to him from every quarter. Here's something I want you to understand, which I thought was pretty cool. And Leviticus 13 and 14 kind of talks about the rules and regiments for a leper. And Leviticus 14 actually talks about what the leper should do, which is what Jesus is telling him to do. But listen to this. It says, the ceremony described in Leviticus 14 presents a beautiful picture in type of the work of redemption. The two birds represented two different aspects of the Lord's ministry, his incarnation and his death. The bird put into the jar and then killed, and the resurrection or ascension, the bird stained with the blood and then set free. And then the blood was applied to the right man, to the man's right ear, God's word, his right thumb, God's work, and his right toe, God's walk. And then the oil was put on the blood, symbolizing the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit cannot come on human flesh until first the blood has been applied. See, he was clean. Completely. And his life changed completely from what it was to what it is now because of one thing, which is a touch from Jesus. And here's why this is important, why the sacrifice is so important, and why we in our culture have a hard time understanding sometimes what the cross really meant. But in their old system, there had to be blood. There was no forgiveness of sin. Actually, Hebrews says it this way in 9:22. It says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sins. This is why we celebrate communion on a regular basis, because we are a people that soon forget. We are a people that want to go back to the old system and pick up our ways of making ourselves pure and clean and working a system that never worked, ever, instead of entering into what Jesus has already done for us. See, the way you think and feel about yourself right now depends on how you're going to respond when you walk out of this room. I think it is, I mean, I've been doing this, not planting the church, but I've been in ministry. I didn't intend to be in ministry, just for the record. I didn't like grow up and go, man, one day I'm going to talk to people. I thought that was the dumbest thing ever, not talking to people, but like that someone would stand up in front of people and talk. And here is, for the last 12 years, I think the hardest thing for me to convince anyone is that God has fixed what was broken in you. God has made you clean when for all of those years you could not. Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then here's part of a scripture that we read earlier, but the rest of it around it. 1 John 1, starting in verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I sometimes wish, instead of up here having a conversation with people that don't necessarily interact with me, I could sit face to face with you. And I could ask, like, how do you feel today? Do you feel right now, if we were in the old system, that you would be able to go into the presence of God? We talk about that when we sing up here. And Megan mentioned that at the end of her song, like, let's stay here. And I think that may be confusing a little bit to what is the presence of God. And a lot of it is, am I able to enter into the presence of God? And here's the great glory of what the gospel is. Jesus has done everything necessary for you to enter in. Everything. And the thing that's going to change you from being an angry, frustrated, depressed, anxious, fearful person, it's going to be that God has done what's necessary to give you life. I mean, right now, sitting in this chair, if you've said yes to Jesus, then you are clean. You are righteous. And I know I don't wake up in the morning and bounce out of my bed and go, I'm righteous. Like, I don't feel that way. I have to convince myself that the reason why I'm righteous is not because I have come here and not because I've done anything good, because we see in Isaiah 64:6 that even our best day is not good enough for God. But what is good enough for God is what Jesus did on the cross. And that we right now can exist in this place and walk out of this place and go into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and come back here next Sunday and be in a place that we are inside of the presence of God, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done. He has done it all. And so what I would like to do is, we close our service, I'm going to invite our worship team back up. And if you're new here, we close with a song, not because that's what we do and it's a nice transition. We close with a song because I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Because the truth is there's people sitting in this room that right now, if we were to be face to face and you were to be completely honest with me, you would not look me in the eye and say, I'm clean, I'm good. Unless you were lying to me, which we do. We put on these faces and we walk into church and we smile and we say, life is good. When 30 minutes ago when you were with your family, it wasn't good. Last night, it wasn't good. Last week, it wasn't good. And there's things that are crushing you and you feel that you deserve it. Because I'm not good enough. And I'm not holy enough. And I did this, and so God is doing this. And we exist in a place that we want the old system, because the old system feels like we're doing something, instead of the new system, which is Jesus Christ has done it all. And outside of that is where life flows. See, life doesn't flow out of a place that could never heal you. Life flows out of a place that Jesus said, I've done everything so that you could be clean. And so, in this last song, I just want you to ask. It's not as much about how you feel as much as what has God done. Have you given yourself to God? Have you came to Jesus like the leper did and realized there's nothing possible for you to do, and that there's no way for you to make yourself right before God and trust Him and say, if you will, you can make me clean. And this is God's statement to you, to me today. I will be clean. So if you feel that way right now, the easiest thing that you can do is God, you say, God, make me clean. Your Son's death on the cross has done everything. The blood that was necessary for the forgiveness of sin has been spilled for once and for all. And right now, we can enter in to what God has given us. We can be justified right now. We can be called His children right now. We can have the righteousness that He earned on the cross right now. Not because you're here, but because you said yes to Jesus. So the simple thing is, if you've not said yes to Jesus, all you got to do is just be like the leper. Say, I bring nothing to the table. I have nothing to show you that would make you want me. But you, through your word, said that you came to give me life. And you died on the cross without sin to be my penalty, to be my payment. And I want that. Say, God, here I am. All that I am is yours. For everyone else, it's a horrible place to live in, that you're constantly trying to please God. Instead of realizing that God does everything as the Father, say son, daughter. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is by Your grace that we can be clean. It is by Your mercy, Lord, it is by Your forethought that You planned from the beginning to send Your Son to this earth to live a sinless life, to be willingly hung on the cross, to die for the penalty of our sin, to raise from the dead and show us that He was exactly who He said He was. So, Lord, where we're living in places that we shouldn't, Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts as son and daughter. I've already done what's necessary for You to enter into my presence. Rest. I pray that You would open our eyes to see what You've done for us. I pray that You would open our ears to hear Your loving call to us, to hear the words that I will be clean. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts right now to believe that You desire us and that You can cleanse us from all sin. I pray as people in this room, as they open their mind, as they open their hearts to say, God, I need You to respond and show them the power. Just pray all these things in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ.